Good evening. It's so good to be here. Thank you so much for having me, for welcoming me to your midst. Thank you, Freddie. Thank you, church. It is great to be here and to see so many old friends. When I'm talking about old, Nia and Owen were the first people that I met when I came to Bangor back in 1995. Obviously, as a three-year-old at the time. Not at all. Is there a clicker for this? Is that it that I'm totally ignoring? Forgive me. Okay. So, yes. And then I've been doing life with a whole lot of people in this congregation for a long time. Although I live in Cardiff now, I actually lived just by Penryn Castle until just before Christmas. I've just taken up the role of, now I have to think, what am I? Director of Evangelical Alliance Wales, so I've moved down to Cardiff. I've literally just come to the end of my 12th week with the Evangelical Alliance, and let me tell you, God's hand has been on every detail. I mean, I've been a Christian for 28 years, and yet he has taken my breath away. Again, just with his faithfulness and his kindness. And honestly, I could literally give you 50 or 60 little miracles that have happened, and where God has seen my heart that perhaps nobody else would know about these things, and yet God has provided in the most incredible way. So I'm so thrilled and I'm so honored to be with you and to be able to travel around the nation really on behalf of the Alliance. Just in case you're wondering, well, I've kind of heard about Evangelical Alliance. Just to let you know what we do, we're an umbrella organization. We have scores of organizations. You may have heard of Tear Fund, Bible Society, etc., etc. They're part of our membership. We also have thousands, literally, of churches who are member churches with us. And then we have tens of thousands of individual members. So we're a membership organization. But what we then do is we have three sort of main streams. The first being unity. And how many of us know that actually where there is unity, God commands a blessing, huh? So what we do is we work together with churches and we try and get them to work with one another as well. Let me just give you a little story because I can say this in the north because it's okay because it's miles away from Cardiff. I introduced two pastors in Cardiff to each other 3 weeks ago and they live and minister 4 miles apart and they'd never met. One of them's been there for 10 years, the other's been there for 14 years. I was like, what? What on earth? I mean, in North Wales, you have this little Christian radar, don't you? And then you're friends for life because, you know, Christians aren't to a penny up here, are they? But down in Cardiff, these two guys, faithful men of God, had never met one another. So I just sat there and I thought, I'm not going to say anything the whole meeting. I'm just going to let you get on with each other. And, you know, they've been meeting in Starbucks ever since and, you know, getting on with each other. Their churches might do something together. Amazing. So there's unity, there's mission. So my favorite thing in the world, apart from coffee, is basically talking about Jesus. And I get to spend all day, every day, just telling people about Jesus and the freedom that his life brings, which is pretty cool, really. Living the dream. And then the third thing is advocacy, which is a bit of a scary word. Or at least I thought it was. But essentially, all advocacy is in our respect, we sit on different committees. And so, for example, the Faith Forum Committee that the Welsh Office run, we are part of different various committees with the Senedd, working with AMs, and then the Interfaith Committee as well, which is far less scary than you think it is because we actually run it as an Evangelical Alliance, so that's okay. But it's just the most incredible privilege. And did you know that your voice as a Bible-believing evangelical Christian is being heard? I know so often it feels like, do you know what, these politicians and councillors perhaps, do they know what we feel? Well, the answer is yes. We've got people in the Senedd, in Holyrood. We've got people in Number 10. And, of course, in Stormont, even though it's not quite functioning, but you know what we're saying. So we've got people and your voice is being heard. And just the prayers of the people who go into those meetings and the support they provide, it's there, trust me. So all this that is in front of me here is for free. And who doesn't love a freebie? I don't think anybody doesn't like a freebie. You can have whatever you like. So here's our monthly mag. Some blurb about the Great Commission. Jesus calls us all to go and make disciples. Now, this is a good one. If you've ever wondered what you're allowed by law legally to say in the workplace, you know, sometimes we don't know, do we? Oh, can I talk about Jesus in the workplace? Well, this is written by the Association of Christian Lawyers. That's not their name. I'm making that up. Lawyers Christian Fellowship. And it tells you what you can and what you can't say. We speak on behalf of the Christian voluntary sector in Wales to the government. Some information about that. And there's some other stuff as well. Os da chi'n iaith gynta Cymraeg, mae pob dim yn cael ei cyfieithu. Everything is being translated into the Welsh language and will be out at Llanw. So you'll have to come to that. Cool. Enough of the blurb. Please do take all of that. I don't want to carry it back to Caerdydd. Or Caerdydd, as they say down there, because they're posh. Reimagining what is possible. I just want to look at the word this evening. You don't need to hear anything but the word of God. It's the word of God that's going to change our lives. I want to go left to the Gospel of Matthew, to the Old Testament, which I love. Because Jesus is all over the Old Testament, hey? And I just want to... I want to be a facilitator rather than a preacher tonight, just to facilitate us to dream again and to dream within the kingdom of God and to ask God, what dreams does he have for our lives? So I'm going to watch a 2-minute movie clip. It's not a movie. 2-minute YouTube clip to start. Should have warned you to bring the popcorn, but it's a very, very famous piece of footage. So please just take a look at this. Brilliant. Thanks for watching that. I have a dream. Whatever story of your life, you know, whatever the story of your life and whatever state you find yourself, whether that's in a good or a bad place here tonight, God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. God has created you with unique talents and giftings with the intention that he would then use those giftings and those talents to bring him glory and to extend his kingdom here on earth. God has created us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus on this earth, and he trusts us with this moment in history to build his kingdom wherever we've been placed for this time. That's a massive thing to say, isn't it? God trusts us to build his kingdom wherever we are placed on this earth at this time. God doesn't see us, any one of us, as useless or weak or without gifting. He has literally placed his hope in you. And he trusts you to use what he has placed inside of you to extend the kingdom of God here on earth. And so I've got one prayer for this evening. And it would be that we would leave here with the intention, if we don't already know, of finding out what God's bespoke plan and intention is and his purpose is for our lives. You see, you're not just an individual, even within a small crowd like this. You're not just a person within a crowd. God knows you personally. And he has and he will equip you for every task that he calls you to. He plans to use us, can you believe it, to transform communities, our schools, our workplaces, our land, our nation, and our world. So let's just start by taking a look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. Where do I point this, fellas? Towards heaven. Is that on? I think it's dead, that's what it is. Oh, there we go, that'll do. Plan B. Duw sy wedi'n creu ni, beth ydyn ni. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Some translations say we are God's workmanship. Others say that we're his masterpieces, imagine. Did you hear that though? You've been created from the purposes of God, into the purposes of God, and for the purposes of God. We're created in Christ Jesus himself. And God never creates anything useless. We are definitely not mistakes. God has placed dreams inside the hearts of each one of us, hasn't he? You know, when Martin Luther King was delivering his famous speech, what he was doing was reimagining what life could look like for the black people of America. That was his dream, and a noble one at that. But I wonder what your dream is. I've got two scrapbooks at home of things that I believe God has called me to do. And there's some prophetic words in there. If you've ever been given a word of prophecy, you write it down and you hold on to that. And sometimes you even need to contend for it. But there are things in there, things that I've been dreaming about since I was 17. Since I was 17, that are only now just coming to pass with this job with EA. Some of the things I get to do day by day now have been written in these journals since I was 17. I took them to a conference last weekend and I was showing some of the ladies and they were really taken aback in my little 17-year-old writings. Beautiful. But every year what I do is I intentionally sit down with the Lord, usually in a coffee shop because that's good, and I just say, okay, Lord, what's your dream for this year? What could I possibly do for you? How could I worship you this year? How could I serve you this year? So I wonder if we can go on to the next one, please. I have a dream. And the next one again, please. I have a dream that Wales would turn back to Jesus. I really do. I dream of a country and a people who are full of the Holy Spirit. A nation who don't just talk about Jesus like a good bloke from the past, but a nation who are really in a true and living relationship with God and who love God with everything that they have. And that's just one of my dreams. I wonder whether we need to dream again. Whether you and I need to reimagine what God has for us, what God has for our families, what God has for our friends, and what God has for our nation. So I said already, we're going to turn left from the book of Matthew. I don't know if you bring Bibles to church, do you, or if you look on your phone. I'll just have to trust you're not on Facebook. But I want to take us to Numbers 13, which isn't a book that we look at too often. But, you know, just to give you some context, God had already promised that the people would walk into the promised land. He'd promised that he would give them this land as an inheritance, a land that would be flowing in milk and honey. Let's look at verses 1 to 3. Just a little clue to my preaching. If you see a star at the end, it means, shush, Sean, we finished with that slide. So I'm just letting you in on the secrets there. It's good, isn't it? Okay. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Great. So let's start at the very beginning, quote the song. Moses obeys the instructions of the Lord, good call, and he sends out representatives of each of the 12 tribes to spy out the land of Canaan. As I said, that was the land that God had promised to them as their inheritance. What were they asked to do? Well, let's skip to verse 17. Great. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was a season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Lebo Hamath. So this was no small journey, was it? Okay. The Bible says that they would actually have had to have traveled hundreds of miles to do this. In fact, the journey took about 40 days. 40 is a number used quite often, isn't it, within the Bible. You'll know of its significance. But it was an incredibly long journey. Let's see what they found out. This is verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There, they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. So good times. The land was fruitful. There was food there. Happy days. The reporting back to Moses and Aaron was going really well until the next word. Verse 28, please. But the people who live there, that's the biggest turning point, isn't it, in this whole story, that but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So whereas the spies had begun their report by saying how good the land was, things very, very quickly turned sour and negative. And some of the men started to complain that the people looked really quite powerful. The cities were fortified, and they questioned whether or not they could break through. But look at what happens next. A man called Caleb steps up to the mark. Verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people. Just let that sink in a second. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So wow, at last, at least somebody is willing to trust God for the promise that he had already given. At last, somebody who would go with the plan that God had already given them. Here, Caleb has to silence the negativity and the sour talk and the complaining and the grumbling. Shush, he says, no more negativity. We're going to go up. We're going to take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You see, Caleb wasn't going to allow the unbelief of the other spies to knock him back. He would believe that God had promised and that the God who had promised was faithful. He wasn't going to let the other spies affect his belief that God might change his mind, for example, or that God might just have been teasing. Caleb was seeing through the eyes of faith and through the filter of God's promise to them. When you and I start to reimagine what God has for us and for our nation, don't expect everybody to agree with you straight away. I mean, I would be very surprised and very pleased if everybody around you thought the same way as you and got behind your dream. But don't allow yourself to get discouraged by the negativity of other people. especially if they don't see it through the same filter of faith as you. Can we have the next slide, please? Don't let negativity and disappointment downgrade your hope. Caleb silenced the people. In my travels with the Alliance, I've spent the first 3 months meeting with lots and lots of leaders, business leaders, bivocational leaders, church leaders, AMs, all sorts of people. There is an element of battle weariness around the nation. You know that sense of we've done the distance, we've been faithful, and we haven't seen what God has promised yet? Does anybody relate to that? No? Yes? Anybody been praying for things for more than 10 years that haven't happened? Anybody more than 20 years for things that haven't happened? 30? Oh, come on. There is a sense of battle weariness around the nation. But do you know what? In my first week at the Alliance, God said, I want you to hear those people. And I want you to love those people. And I want you to show compassion. But I want you to call them out to go again. You see, in the kingdom, we don't get to retire or retreat or go and hide when things get really tough. We have to go again. And so I'm asking you tonight, even if the dream hasn't come to pass and you know you've felt a bit battle weary yourself, will you go again? Will you pursue? Will you contend for what God has called you to do and the person that God has called you to be? Let's try to be people who see and perceive what God has got promised for our lives. Because all the men who went to spy out the land saw the same thing, and yet they didn't all see the same thing, did they? Does that make sense? Some people will honestly laugh at your dreams. I've had that. Because I'm quite a dreamer. I like to think big, actually. And so some people have laughed. That's okay. That doesn't stick. You know, if Wales is going to be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to dream big. And we're going to have to dream bigger, aren't we? We're going to have to start asking for some pretty miraculous things to happen, are we not? If that's really going to be the case. Let's not allow negativity to downgrade our hope and our trust in God. We can't always change the situation, but we can always, always change the atmosphere. Amen? Okay. All the men who were spying out the land saw the same thing. But not all the men saw the same thing. Ooh, controversial. As another preached. What was the reaction of the crowd to Caleb? Let's move on to verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him, said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. Bechot. The problem is, though, the words were completely opposed to not only Caleb's words, but those of Moses and with the promise of God. They were ignoring God's promise that he would walk with them and win victory over the enemy. The men were clearly more frightened of the other men than they were of the Lord. I mean, you know, it says that they saw themselves like grasshoppers. Standing in front of their giants. Again, they were choosing to see themselves through their own human eyes rather than through the filter of faith. But before we write them off as being stupid or duh for not getting it, that's exactly what we do, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm not clever enough. Someone else could do it better. I'm not good enough. Come on, be honest. We sometimes see ourselves and others as grasshoppers too. Can we have the next slide, please? Lots of people believe in God, but not everybody believes his promises. That involves faith. things start to go from bad to worse. Let's go on to chapter 14, verse 1, please. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness." I'm sorry, I'll tell you afterwards why I'm laughing at that. "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." This is not part of the preach. The reason why I was laughing at that point, I was driving to my friend Nicola's house to stay for the last few days, and I saw the mountains, and I was like, "I really miss Bangor. I really like it here, Lord. And you've taken me to a concrete jungle. I'm in Caerdydd, and it's really like..." And he was like, "That was the promise all along, duh. Do you not remember?" And I was like, "Oh, I've just done what I'm preaching about on Sunday. You know, oh, I'd love to go back to Egypt. I'd love to go back to Bangor." No, you wouldn't. You're in the right place. Anyway, that was for free. Okay, so reality check needed. They weren't free at all in Egypt, and yet they moaned and they whined and they whinged and they cried and they wished they were back in captivity. This is typical human being behavior. Let's go to the next slide, please. We don't want to step into new things because we're so comfortable with the old way of doing things. I could have stayed up here for forever. I fell deeply in love with North Wales, with the mountains, the people. I absolutely adored the subject I was teaching and the kids and everything. But I needed to step into the new thing and not become so comfortable in my old ways. Freedom and the promised land was within their sight, and yet they were too afraid to step into the promise. They'd forgotten just how hard the oppression of Egypt was. All they can remember was that there was food there. Let's go on to the next slide. We're almost home. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Him, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us." Again, they're just stating the promise, aren't they? "Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people in the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us." Do not be afraid of them. But the doubters come back, don't they? Oh, the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Oh, man. So Moses and Aaron, they fall face down. Face down before the people and start tearing their clothes and trying to persuade the crowd to remember God's promise. But of course, it's like telling somebody to calm down when they're having a tantrum. It just seemed to inflame the crowd more. So the Lord Himself, you'd be glad to know, had to intervene. Verse 10. "Then the glory of the Lord appeared." Imagine, just when you need the Lord to turn up, He comes in all of His glory. The glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt?" Imagine hearing the Lord saying that. "How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they." As I said, imagine hearing God saying that. "How long will these people treat me with contempt?" God forbid that we should ever hear those words spoken. And doesn't that just increase the sense of urgency inside of you and I to go and tell people about Jesus? It certainly does me, because actually, I'm here to tell people about Jesus and His goodness and His amazing plan. Moses tried to plead on behalf of the people and pleaded God's love and faithfulness over their lives, and God forgave them. Verses 21 to 24, however, nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the earth, not one of them who saw my glory, the Lord says, and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So let me finish by asking you, I wonder, do you carry a Caleb spirit? That different spirit, that faith filter. What are you reimagining? What are you dreaming of? What promises from God are you holding on to? Which promises are you contending for? Maybe it's the salvation of a loved one. We're still contending for my brother. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's freedom in some way that perhaps nobody else knows about. What promises from God are you holding on to? What dream will you contend for and keep praying for and remain faithful to? What is on your heart? What idea is so ridiculous, so crazy that actually only Jesus would ever be allowed to bring it about? Only he would ever have the power to do it. I mentioned very, very briefly, and I've told my story a lot of times, so maybe you'll hear it somewhere else, but I mentioned about the Alliance and some of the things that I'm doing now, I literally dreamt of when I was 17 that I would get to do. Sometimes you just got to dig your heels in and say, I'm here for the duration. And you know, God is really faithful to his promise, but sometimes we're not so faithful to his promises. And so in your reimagining, in your dreaming, I wonder, have you put that stake in the ground? I'm not shifting. Are you looking through the filter of faith or through the filter of doubt? Can I pray for us? Is that okay? Father, your love and your faithfulness are incredible. And we love you, Jesus. That you would put your hope in people like us is astonishing. And yet you have. And we love that we are on this adventure with you, Father. But Lord Jesus, you are raising up a people who will be your hands and feet in this nation. That Jesus, it's not just a rah, rah, rah call, wow, 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 we're going to go and take the land. It's just about being faithful in the next minute and in the next hour and in the next day and in the next week and in the next month and in the next years. Jesus, it's our privilege to be known as children of God. And that's all because of what you've done. It's not through our own, it's not what we deserve. You haven't treated us as our sins deserve. And so, Father, again, we come before you and we just submit our lives to you. We submit our lives to your plan and purposes. Father, those of us who have given our lives to you, Lord Jesus, we would say that they're not even ours to live. So we give ourselves to you again, Lord. Jesus, even in this coming week, would you help us to reimagine what might be possible with the God of all heaven and earth on our side? Father, I thank you that you're for us, that you have never been against us. Lord God, the blood of Jesus covers over us and you see us. You see us as your children. So Father, this week, would you help us to dream again and to know that the Lord Almighty is on our side. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.